When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to a very special surprise episode of the James Bond A to Z podcast. My name is Tom Butler.
I'm Brendan Duffy.
And we are coming to you from a very, very exciting location. Brendan, where are we?
We are at what is probably considered the home of 007, Pinewood Studios.
Well, there's not many places that can claim it, and this is definitely the number one destination. And why are we here?
Well, it's the 60th anniversary of what is considered probably the best Bond film.
At the home of Bond, the very best Bond film, yes. Yeah. It's the 60th anniversary of Goldfinger, and we were very lucky to be invited, not in the podcast capacity, let's make that clear from the outset, just through a stroke of good connections, to come and see Goldfinger at Pinewood.
Yeah, in Pinewood Gardens.
In Pinewood Gardens. So why is Pinewood Gardens so famous?
I mean, it runs through Bond history with the opening titles of From Russia With Love.
Yeah.
A shot in Pinewood Gardens.
Yeah.
And it was often used, as we've talked about many a time in the podcast, to fill in for other places as well. Nearby, you've got the Stokes Park Golf Club, Black Park, which features Casino Royale. It's steeped in absolute history.
And if you've listened to our Goldfinger episode, you'll know that pretty much the majority of Goldfinger was filmed at Pinewood Studios as well. So it's kind of really exciting to be here. We're not on the sound stages, we're in the actual gardens, which, to set the scene for you, the sun is setting. There's a big inflatable screen where they're going to show the movies, the movie itself. They're playing some James Bond music. And right in front of us is an Aston Martin DB5, all kitted out with all the gadgets.
Yeah, and everyone's got their eyes all over it, and they're getting inside and they're loving it.
We have not been able to get in there to have a look at it, but we've seen the gadgets go in, and I guess probably a good thing to talk about the DB5, right? Because this is the first Bond film that the DB5 appears in.
Yeah.
And it, you know, just transforms the expectations of a Bond film forever.
Yeah, and we talked about it, if you can remember, all the way back to A.
Yeah.
We did cover this, and the gadgets that were implemented, Ken Adam had input on that. It's essentially a character in its own right.
Yeah.
And a gadget and a tool that he needs to be able to succeed in this mission, 100%.
Exactly, yeah, it's integral to the plot of the film. But 60th anniversary of Goldfinger... It's obviously we had the 60th anniversary of Dr. No a couple of years ago, but this is really the one that really puts Bond on the map.
Yeah.
And right?
If you go back to our Goldfinger episode, and I think that is definitely what we said, all the ingredients come together. It's got everything that you would expect from a Bond film, and is the first one to do that.
Yeah. If we talk about the firsts within the movie for James Bond, we can talk about it being the first Bond film with the DB5, but also the first one with a fully fleshed out pre-title sequence.
Yep, and the theme song with the title credits over it.
Yep, with the title credits over it. Obviously, we mentioned the DB5, but then it's also the first film where we get to go into Q's lab.
Yep.
Q was obviously in the last film, but in this one, we get to go into his lab. And yeah, any other firsts for Goldfinger? I would say it's also, like, as I said, it's the one that really put it on the map. And it comes at a time where the culture in general is going Britain mad, right?
Yeah.
America is going absolutely wild for the Beatles. And this film comes out in the midst of that. And I think the two things have got to go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That is something that's covered in a book.
Yes. John Higgs's book.
John Higgs.
Love and Let Die. Yeah, yeah.
But this one is probably where it does tie together as neatly as possible, because they're both at their height of their power.
Yeah, absolutely. And where do you stand on Goldfinger? I know when we talked about it at the time, both Wheatley and I were very passionate for Goldfinger, and you put From Russia With Love ahead of it.
I did. And that's not set in stone, you know. Everyone's Bond film, you can be pretty flexible with that.
Yeah.
I think seeing it tonight in Pinewood Gardens on a big screen, it could push it back into top spot.
Oh, there we go. Here we have it. Yeah. I think this definitely has the chance to do that. And what I love about Goldfinger is it's such a fast-paced, fun Bond movie. You know, it's not a slog in any way, shape or form. And so for that reason, I'm really, really excited about seeing it tonight. I haven't seen it for a while. I'm just watching some people come in and regretting my seating choice, which we've just brought a picnic blanket with us, and some people have brought beanbags, and I feel my back is going to regret not having had brought something like that. But,
well, at least it's not No Time to Die, because then
it would be time to die at the end, yeah, with the sore bottoms. But yeah, very excited to see Goldfinger. Let's talk about Pinewood then. So on the way in, you saw the Sean Connery stage.
Yeah.
What else is here?
We've got the Roger Moore stage.
Yeah.
The Ken Adam building.
Yeah.
John Barry Theatre, where it's the cinema basically here. The public can come and buy tickets and watch films here. Goldfinger Avenue.
That's the one I was going to bring up, yeah.
Yeah. And if you ever get the chance just to walk around where all the workshops are, that is obviously where the chase scene is filmed. And
when we talk about the chase, we're talking about in Switzerland, when he goes to Goldfinger's, he sees the gold being put on the car, and then they get chased in the DB5,
yeah,
and then the DB5 crashes into a building, and that building, all those buildings there, are Pinewood.
Yeah, and they're all still there.
Yeah.
And there's obviously, they've named Goldfinger Avenue after it, but there's, you can recognise it, easily recognisable.
Yeah.
Just as soon as you see it.
Yeah. And you, this is your area that you work in now, right? This is your world, film studios. Do you still get like excited being at somewhere like Pinewood?
Well, Pinewood is on its own out, you know.
Yeah.
There's nowhere quite like Pinewood. I think Leavesden obviously has got a little special place because of GoldenEye. It wouldn't be there without GoldenEye. But Pinewood, it is the home of 007. Of course, the 007 stage, can't believe we forgot that.
That is the main one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the 007 stage, if you ever get to come to Pinewood, it sort of dominates the skyline.
Yeah.
It's absolutely
large. Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you know what's being filmed here now?
No, I actually don't.
You don't?
No.
Definitely not James Bond 26.
No.
Just to put a date on this podcast. Yes. So, I mean, it's such an exciting place to be. I've been here a few times in a professional capacity. But tonight I'm not actually working, which is quite fun. I've been to the sets here for Eternals, the Marvel film. Mm-hmm. And I've been to a Rogue One event here. I'm trying to think if I've done any other Pinewood. Maybe Avengers Age of Ultron was here. I can't remember. But when you come here and you see, it's quite different to some studios because it's got a lot of old stuff here.
Yeah.
What am I trying to say? Like old buildings.
Old buildings. I think Shepperton's the only other one that would have that feel to it, really.
Yeah.
But everywhere you turn in Pinewood, there is history.
Yeah.
And they reference all the films that are made here in the corridors you walk through. And they've, you name it, you know, it's pretty much, there's a chance it's been filmed here, you know, if it's been filmed in the UK, at least at some capacity. And they've obviously got edit suites as well here, so there's a chance that it could have been done in edit. If it wasn't shot here, it might have been gone through post.
Yeah. Do you have a moment in golfing you're looking forward to seeing?
Do you know what? I really like the part where he's at the farm just chilling out with Goldfinger.
Right,
I really,
right.
really enjoy that. Because we don't see that anymore.
No.
Really. Just the hanging out and enjoying. You can get to understand the characters from those scenes, I think, where they just spend time together. And the power dynamic is really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the power dynamic between Bond and Goldfinger is fascinating. And where I've heard this, maybe we talked about it on the podcast, but maybe we didn't. It was the first Bond film where it's really... The first one was a mystery film. Doctor No was a mystery film. The second one was more of an espionage film. This one is a rivalry film. Yeah. Bond is up against a man. And it's almost not even... the case that the national security is at stake. It's the idea of dignity and fair play that really drives Bond through this movie.
Yeah, which you especially see when they play golf together.
Yeah. Which is one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
Great. That's one scene I'm looking forward to is Hawker on the big screen.
Yeah. Your favourite character in the whole franchise.
Come on, MGM. Give us our Hawker spin-off series. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. But I'm just looking forward to seeing all of it and hearing it as well, because obviously the soundtrack of this movie is so, so sensational. It's the first one that John Barry does the song. Is that right? The song and the soundtrack, or am I making that up? I could be making that up. John Barry did a song for From Russia With Love? Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Because he had complete control over the song of this, which, again, I can't wait to hear here. So as the sun begins to set, I guess we'll get ready to eat our picnic.
Yeah.
Or any special James Bond food.
We've got bars of gold.
Bars
of
gold bars, yeah. Bought some Swiss chocolate. And maybe we'll enjoy a little cocktail while watching the movie.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up there and we will report back after we have seen the film. Bye.
Ciao.
Look, he's gunning for trouble. The world's wiliest, toughest gentleman agent with a license to kill. 007. It spells Bond. He's the idol of every woman.
Who are you?
Bond. James Bond.
The envy of every man. The nemesis of the treacherous Mr. Goldfinger. Sean Connery in Ian Fleming's...
Goldfinger.
Starring Gert Froba as Goldfinger. Honor Blackman as Pussy Galore. Also starring Shirley Eaton. James Bond is back in action, mixing excitement with girls. And thrills. It's another Bond Buster.
So there we are. We've just finished watching Goldfinger, and I have to say, I thought it was quite magical.
I agree. The scene was set early on, and the film started, and... yeah, everything came together. There was also a really bright moon that we witnessed while it was playing out, and it just added to the
atmosphere. Felt like a floodlight, didn't it?
Absolutely did.
Take it back to the start, though. We had an introduction to the film.
Yeah.
A few introductions to the film. There was someone from Pinewood.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he sort of gave a bit of a speech about 60 years of Goldfinger, and then we had a local dignitary...
Yeah, who represented a local charity.
Yeah, and something to do with the king.
Yes.
Which was weird.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd have to fill in the details here, but she sort of did a little speech as well. That felt very formal, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But she was representing, local charity.
Yeah, local charity, which they then auctioned off a few items.
A few bits and bobs.
Yeah.
Some big money. I mean, one of the things was an umbrella.
Yeah, Pinewood umbrella.
Which I think someone paid over the odds for, but, you know, nice to have.
Yeah.
There was also a day at the golf course in the film.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite nice.
Yeah.
And I think there were some people from the golf course there. It's Stoke Park, isn't it?
Yeah, Stoke Park. And yeah, there were people.
Because when it appeared on screen, there was some cheers in the crowd, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So that was nice. That got big money. I don't know how much it costs to play golf, but over 500 quid someone paid for four people to play at there, which I don't know how much it would cost.
Usually. I mean, you're in an iconic setting as well. I mean, if you're a Bond fan, it definitely adds to it. I don't play golf, but it would be pretty cool to go and play around there.
There was a signed Daniel Craig photograph, which was quite small. We saw it. But someone paid over 100 quid for that. I'm not sure.
More, I think. Yeah.
And then I think my favourite thing was the Goldfinger Avenue sign, which was going to be signed by Barbara and Michael, which someone again paid over 500 quid for.
Yeah, that was definitely the hot take. That was the one to get.
That was the one to get. Yeah. Did you bid on anything?
No. arms firmly to the ground.
It would have been nice, but I don't know what I would have done with a Goldfinger sign. No. And I don't think my wife would have been very impressed by. I've just spent 500 quid on a sign, which I can't do anything with.
No.
And then the final lot, which they sprung on them, was a brick from the...
It wasn't even a full brick.
Half a brick from the paddock, which is a nice touch.
Yeah. It's the first time they've ever auctioned off anything, any part of the Pinewood buildings.
Oh, we should have taken something while we're here.
Yeah, should have prized that scaffolding down.
Yeah, just to set the scene. We're in the car park now afterwards, and the Pinewood House, which is it called Pinewood House? I don't know. But it's like the main where the gardens are, and it's like an old country house. We're outside of it, it's all covered in scaffolding. So you kind of don't get the full effect of Pinewood. But it's still quite exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So then there was the auction, and then there was an introduction, a video introduction from Barbara and Michael, which is quite a nice surprise, which had been recorded specifically for the 60th anniversary.
Yeah, didn't expect that to come up.
I wasn't expecting that, but I think there was an event last night as well, which may have been more friends and family of Eon, I'm not sure.
Yeah, so slightly more geared towards that,
maybe. Yeah, because this was more of an industry for people who work at Pinewood, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So a nice little introduction from them, nothing groundbreaking, just sort of talking about how it's the home of Bond and how some of the scenes were filmed here. Specifically, they talked about Pinewood Avenue, didn't they?
Yeah.
And the ejector seat scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they didn't announce the new Bond.
They did. We just can't tell anyone, can we? Let's just keep that between us. Yeah.
I can't believe it's
Tom Holland. Sorry. No.
That really added to it all. And
yeah.
I mean, obviously it comes on.
And there was a sizzle reel as well, wasn't there? A Pinewood sizzle reel, which was quite an amazing eye-opening video, because it just makes you realise how many amazing things get made here.
Yeah.
From James Bond to Star Wars to, God, everything. There's a lot of Star Wars, actually.
Yeah,
and a lot of Marvel, so a lot of Disney.
The Jurassic films.
A lot of Disney films now, a lot of Disney
Netflix,
TV programs.
Amazon, MGM.
MGM. It was very exciting. And then the movie itself. So,
yeah.
What a movie.
It's fantastic. It's soared into number one.
It's gone to number one. Okay.
Everyone is on top of their game.
Yeah.
Ken Adam, John Barry, Sean Connery, Bernard Lee, Lois Maxwell. All peak.
Yeah. I've got to say, the two things that really stood out to me on watching it this time around, and again, it's been a while since I've watched it, especially on the big screen, is how funny the film is.
Yeah.
Richard Maybaum, Paul Dane, and however many other people worked on the script put in an absolutely hilarious... It's hard to understate how funny this movie is.
And refreshing to watch it in a group setting like that, where you can hear where the beats are.
Yeah. There's just so many great one-liners and... Yeah. Bits of humour in the film, like even just sight gags. The bit that made me laugh the most, I think, is it's always the old lady with the machine gun. It's just it's so ripe. It's so funny. It's like comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So I love that moment.
I enjoyed the bit at the end where he grabs that random piece of wood behind the gold. I'd never really noticed that before, but it's just like a big chair leg.
He's got nothing else to do but pull the biggest object he can and smash it around him.
But the script, I mean, all credit to Connery, the way he played it.
Yeah.
And we're not going to say anything that's not been said before about
this
film.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But how enjoyable.
Yeah. The script is funny. It's funny all the way through, and it moves at such a pace. It got to where we were at Oryx, the stud farm.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, God, it's Fort Knox, and then it's done.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's so quick.
There's not a second wasted.
No, and I will say, there's something I did think about when I was watching it, is this is sort of pre over-the-top stunt sequences, right? So the story has to do a lot of the work. There's no emphasis on over-the-top action sequences. That all comes in later films.
Yeah.
But with this, there's such a purity about it. I think that's just so really, really enjoyable.
Yeah, definitely.
And something else, the other thing I wanted to mention was just the sets. And obviously, because of being at Pinewood, I'm thinking about what's been filmed where.
Yeah.
Every single set, every single interior was here. And it was built by hand. And something we talked about when we talked about the film itself is, and one of the reasons why the Bond films work on screen is that they never reuse a set. You get a scene in this set and it's gone, and they move on to a next one. It's another amazing set.
The Bank of England one, you pointed that out when we watched it.
Oh my god,
a great set. But Goldfinger's billiard room,
the Rumpus room,
it's fantastic.
It's amazing. I don't know how many real life uses there is for that rotating thing, how many times will that ever get used, but it makes sense in the movie itself. Even just like the very opening scene where Bond goes to blow up that tank thing, and he goes into that tank room, and the tank room is amazing. And it's used for one shot, and it just looks incredible. But that whole opening scene is great. And again, you're in a room, it feels like it's somewhere tropical, and you're in it's Pinewood. On a lot in Pinewood. Just felt very,
For a film that feels as international as it does.
Yeah.
Incredibly impressive that it was all shot in Buckinghamshire.
Yeah.
Pretty much, with the exception for Switzerland.
Yeah, and there's some stuff I think that's shot in Miami. I think some Miami doubles for Kentucky,
second
doesn't
unit,
it?
Yeah.
But that's used very sparingly, but there's no seams. It just feels, it all feels very international. What was I going to say? Yeah, actually, just taking it back. I say the one criticism I have with Goldfinger, and it's a plot criticism, is it's never really clear what the gangster's role in the plot is. It kind of makes sense in the moment, in the logic of the film itself. But actually, when you try and think about it, why does he kill them all? What was their involvement going to be in the plot?
Their original involvement was the money, wasn't it? The funding.
Yeah.
And then once he got the funding,
he
could bump them off. That's why he did.
Well, he could have just. Yeah, I don't know.
He's crazy.
Yeah. I thought that was all terrific. And something we were talking about before we were waiting for the film to start was just what's impressive about this film is the time schedule. So when we think about From Russia with Love. From Russia with Love was released in October 63, and they were filming this in January 64. Yeah. And you were saying about the tax disc in his car.
Yeah, the tax disc, on the Aston. It was February 65.
So it must have just
been
taxed.
February 64, 12 months tax. Yeah.
That shows you how much runtime they had from finishing and releasing From Russia with Love to make this film. And this film is... I think I remember the budget could have paid for both the first two films.
Yeah.
So it's incrementally bigger and better. And whatever they had, they were on a roll. They were on a creative streak when they got to this film, I think. And it stands the test of time. It really does.
It does. 60 years old. I mean, it's brilliant.
Yeah. I hope I'm as light on my feet as that film is when I'm 60. I mean, there's moments where you think it's a bit, the bit in the barn is questionable.
It's questionable. There's the dink bit at the beginning.
Yeah.
But to defend it, it is 60 years old.
And it's of its time, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not going to say that's acceptable now, it was, different time.
Yeah.
What a movie. I'm glad that we got to come see it. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. What a way to experience Goldfinger.
Yeah.
I don't think that can be topped.
No.
At Pinewood.
At Pinewood. I think I'm never going to watch a Bond movie again unless it's at the studio. Oh, and they were saying only two Bond films didn't get made at Pinewood. Yeah. And you were saying...
License to Kill.
And I said, I think GoldenEye is the other one. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
We'll have to check that. But yeah. Fact checkers, if you're listening to this.
Yeah, that's what we think in the moment.
In the moment, yeah. The other one I thought was Casino Royale was filmed in a studio in... But then also they had the back lot stuff here, didn't they? Yeah. So, yeah, just an amazing... This is the home of Bond, and here we are. What a night.
Yeah. And we recorded a pod from Pinewood.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope this has worked. Oh, I hope you've enjoyed this little bonus episode. It might not be the last you hear of us. I'm sure we'll be back for a Christmas special and maybe some more in between.
But, or Thunderball next year.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait for that one. Bahamas, baby. Here we come. But yeah, thanks for listening. And yeah, I don't know how we used to end the podcast, but...
Usually with a chow.
With a chow. All right then. Chow.
Chow.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.